Ready, son?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Let's go.
One, two.
Lolly, 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 get your adverbs here. Lolly, 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 got some adverbs here. Come on down to Lolly's, get the adverbs here. You're going to need if you write or read or even think about it. Lolly, 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 get your adverbs here. Got a lot of lolly, jolly adverbs here. Anything you need and we can make it absolutely clear. A word. That's all it is, and there's a lot of them. That modifies a verb sometimes. A verb sometimes. It modifies an adjective or else another adverb. And so you see that is positively very, very necessary. Lolly, 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 get your adverbs here. Father, son, and Lolly selling adverbs here. Got a lot of adverbs and we make it clear. So come to Lolly.
Hello, folks. This is Lolly Sr. saying we have every adverb in the book, so come on down and look.
Hello, folks. Lolly Jr. here. Suppose your house needs painting. How are you going to paint it? That's where the adverb comes in. We can also give you a special intensifier so you can paint it very neatly or rather sloppily.
Ah! Hi. Suppose you're going nut gathering. Your buddy wants to know where and when. Use an adverb and tell him.
Get your adverb. Use it with an adjective. It says much more. Anything described can be described some more. Anything you'd ever need is in the store. And so you choose very carefully every word you use. Use it with a verb. It tells us how you did. Where it happened, where you're going, where you've been. Use it with another adverb, that's the end. And even more, how, where, or when, condition or reason. These questions are answered when you use an adverb.
Come and get it,
lolly, 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 get your adverbs here. Quickly, 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 get those adverbs here. Slowly, surely, really learn your adverbs here. You're going to need them if you read them, if you write or talk or think about them, Lolly.
If it's an adverb, we have it at Lolly's. Bring along your old adjectives, too, like slow, soft, and sure. We'll fit them out with our L-Y attachment and make perfectly good adverbs out of them.
Get your adverbs here.
Lots of good tricks at Lolly's, so come on down.
Lolly, lolly, lolly.
Adverbs deal with manner, place, time.
Lolly, lolly, lolly.
Condition, reason.
Father, son, and Lolly.
Comparison, contrast.
Lolly, lolly, lolly.
Enrich your language with adverbs.
Lolly, lolly, lolly.
Besides, they're absolutely free.
Lolly, lolly, lolly.
At your service.
Indubitably.
You're wearing your squeaky shoes, and right there taking a snooze is a tiger. So how do you walk on by? Silently, silently, silent, L-Y. You're a secret agent man who's after the secret plan. How do you act so they don't know you're a spy? Normal, L-Y. At an eating contest, you boast that you can eat the most. How do you down your 50th piece of pie? Eagerly, L-Y. On the lake, your boat upset, and your clothes got soaking wet. How do you stand and wait for them to dry? Patiently, L-Y. In the public library, you fall and hurt your knee. But the sign says, quiet, please, so how can you cry?
Quietly, L-Y.
As you walk along the street, a porcupine you meet. How do you shake his hand when he says hi?
Carefully, L-Y.
You enter a very dark room, and sitting there in the gloom is Dracula. Now how do you say goodbye?
Immediately, L-Y.
watch that dial. I must offer to you a confession. I like movies that give me a fright. If the subject is horror, I've got to see more, or I won't be contented all night. You may call it my ghoulish obsession. It's a subject on which I get chatty. But the worst one, it seems, haunting all of my dreams, was the cockroach that ate Cincinnati. I've seen ghouls and hobgoblins and witches, and some moth-eaten werewolves with fangs. There were creatures that chattered and others that clattered, and Japanese monsters with bangs. Frankenstein gives me the shakes, and Count Dracula's driving me batty. But they're not on a par with the worst one by far, the cockroach that ate Cincinnati. Must have needed a seltzer. It's amazing how much he got down. For lunch he just chewed up a suburb or two, and for dinner he ate the whole town. Willard just sent me out laughing. I thought Ben looked a little bit ratty.
Watch,
sorry about that. But they're not half as bad as the worst scare I've had, the cockroach that ate Cincinnati. Oh, my heart nearly stopped, you will never be topped, the cockroach that ate Cincinnati. Olé!
Olé? That's dumb.
WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name's Chris Earle. It's Sucking in the 70s. Here is Meatloaf.
Maybe we can talk all night, but that ain't getting us nowhere. I told you everything I possibly can. There's nothing left inside.
I poured it on and I poured. Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls. It's the story of a man named Brady who was busy with three boys of his own. They were four men living all together, yet they were all alone. Till the one day when the lady met this fellow, and they knew that it was much more than a hunch, that this group must somehow form a family. That's the way we all became the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch. That's the way we became the Brady Bunch.
Just the same. Who can turn a man into a man? Who can turn a van into a vein? A little hug becomes huge instantly. Don't add W, don't add X, and don't add Y or Z. Just add silent E.
WMFO in Medford, it is Sucking in the 70s. With Chris Earle.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Sucking in the 70s here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name's Chris Earle. Here is Styx. 855-915-9636 is the request line. If you want to call in, make a request. 855-915-WMFO.
Rudin and talk about some nice things today. Did you know that? Sure. Some special things for you. Some special things for me, too. And we have a special guest here today. Can you say that, guest? Sure. I knew you could. We're going to talk today to a musician, the guy who plays the bass. And you know what a bass is, don't you? Can you say that? Don't? Sure you can. Hello. How are you?
You think you get somebody to give me a cup of coffee or something?
You're not used to getting up early, huh?
I'm not here yet.
What time do you usually get up?
I usually get up when the sun is warm, like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I like to get up around 6:30.
That's insane. You're stupid.
Huh?
You should sleep late, man. It's just much easier on your constitution.
We're going to talk about your bass and how big it is and things like that. It looks like a violin, but it's bigger, isn't it?
It's a hell of a lot bigger.
Can you say...
Violin's a little wimpy thing.
Can you say wimpy?
Wimpy.
That's right.
Wimpy thing.
I like the way you say that. Did you know that?
I do now. The hell, you're easily amused, aren't you? I say wimpy, wompy, wambly.
I know what you mean. You know something? I like what your face does when you play. It kind of gets all sort of squinched up.
Yeah,
know?
Somebody told me once that my face when I play the bass, it looks like some sort of a big jellyfish or something like that. It just keeps moving.
Sure.
You can never identify what the face is, and real ugly sometimes and real weird. It looks like a fruit or something like that. It just keeps flashing at you, like,
yeah,
somebody rubbing,
sure,
rubber or something.
Tell me some of the things you think about when you're playing, the images. Because, of course, when you're playing, I thought of things like sheep and things like that, little candies, fresh little candies and things like that. Do you think of those things, too?
Oh, I basically think about my financial situation. I count every, like, beat I play, every note I play, and I figure out how many notes I'm giving into the space, you know, out into space.
Sure.
For how much I'm getting paid, and I am working cheap.
Must be hard to sort of struggle to get your band together, though.
Oh, man, especially when you be lifting piano, man. That is the worst.
Huh?
I worked as a mover for 2 years while I was first getting a band together. And I've also made pizza.
But now you're playing music, and sort of the story sort of has a happy ending, doesn't it?
It's sort of a happy ending. We just got the shaft from a record company that had promised to pay us a certain amount of royalties. And
oh,
they
that's
said
too bad.
All sorts of stuff went into pre-production and charged
that's
us for typewriters. They be charging us for stamps, they say, and stuff. How much
sure
is a stamp, you know?
Sure.
I'll buy the goddamn stamp, you
sure
know?
I know what you mean. Well, I'm sure a lot of people out there would like to know how a big, strong guy like you plays the bass so well. Gets to be so strong, what it eats to be like that. Can you tell us that?
Well, I eat a lot of garbage food, but I mainly subsist on stuff like sandwiches and tins of tuna, chicken, something like that from a chain store, soda.
Do you ever have Egg McMuffin?
Sometimes, Dad, or cheese praters.
Can you say Egg McMuffin?
Egg McMuffin, yeah.
Well, I know what I'd like to do now. I'd like to hear you play some bass. Would you
yeah,
like?
I'd like to do that.
Well, we're going to go to the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, no, man, it's too early for me. I gotta drive.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford. That was National Lampoon. Mr. Rogers interviews a bass player. And Bill Murray in the background there. Here's Cheech Chong, Earache My Eye. 855-915 WMFO is the request line. Thanks for listening to your freeform station, WMFO Medford, sucking in the 70s.
My mama took a toothpick trying to tell me how to live. But I don't listen to her cause my head is like a sieve. My daddy, he disowned me cause I wear my sister's clothes. He caught me in the bathroom with a pair of pantyhose. We'll be right back.
Good evening, Cardiff. We have a very, very warm Welsh welcome from America, the Leonard Skinner Group.
Well, those smells is just the blues. Never done so right by me. Some of the times I was innocent, but the judge said guilty. Well, I'm not one too far. Plain son, I take you. But when the black cats cross the trail, y'all, they come and pale. Well, I was born down here in Gotham, got a temper I'm hot as fire. Spent my little days on a bee farm, was doing the greatest thing. Well, even my mama said, son, you're bad news. And it won't be too long for someone puts one through you. Double trouble is what my friends are calling.
We're going to do something now that I know you like, that we do every day. We're going to take a walk in our neighborhood. So, let's go up the steps. 1, 2, 3. Let's open the door. Let's go outside in the yard, okay? Can you say that, yard? Sure you can. Hey, we're outside now. Isn't it nice? There's a little doggy asleep in the shade over there. His name is Kalijah.
Hey, Roberts.
He's cute, isn't he? Can you say that? Cute?
Roberts, can I talk to you for just a minute?
It's our friend Mr. Heyman from across the way. He has the house right next to ours. He's going to be coming over here in a minute to talk to us.
Yeah, I just want to have a word with you, Roberts.
Hi, Mr. Heyman. How are you?
How you doing? I'm doing pretty good.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good, except I got something on my mind.
Well, anything you'd like to say, you can say to me.
Well, my son Timmy, he's been spending a lot of time at your house.
Timmy's a special kid.
Yeah, well, frankly, I don't like him spending so much time over at your house.
Timmy has to feed my fish. That's his special job.
Well, he's not going to feed him anymore, because I told him not to go over to your house anymore, and I'd appreciate it if you'd stay away from him. You understand what I'm talking about?
I thought you might have liked the lederhosen that I made for him.
No, I didn't like it. I thought it was an unusual gift for an adult man to give a child.
I lined him with silk so they wouldn't chafe him in the summer.
Yeah, listen, and
I was going to put a zipper in, but I thought the buttons would be good for his fingers.
What I'm talking about is you and the children in the neighborhood. I think you spend an inordinate amount of time with kids, you know? You don't seem to have any adult friends. You don't seem to have a job of any kind. You don't go to work. You just hang around feeding the fish and walking around the neighborhood. Do you do anything for a living, Fred?
I like to get up in the morning and like to put my feet in a wading pool and turn on the hose and wash them, you know? Sure.
How do you?
That's a special feeling, you know?
You make money off of this, friend?
What are you driving at?
Well, the thing I'm wondering about is Al Morton, you know, Al.
Sure,
on
I do.
The street, and his,
he's a policeman, isn't he?
He sure is, and his son, Skip.
Sure, he's a sergeant. He has three stripes.
His
I like
son,
him.
Skipper, says you touched him last Tuesday, all right?
Touched him.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Can you say deja vu?
Can you say molest? Can you say that?
Molest?
Sure. You know what that means?
Sure.
Yeah, you know what we're talking about then, huh?
Sure I do.
All right. Okay, I got a petition here. 18 names. Parents in the neighborhood like you out of the neighborhood. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
I want you out. Do you understand? Because we don't like you.
Well, I
don't like your face. I don't like the way you comb your hair. I don't like those shoes. You know what I mean?
Well, I like it here.
I don't like that sweater. You know, I noticed you buttoned your sweater.
Sure, I did.
Well, Fred, you forgot to tie your shoes.
My shoes? What do you mean? Oh, gee, that hurts, you know. Oh, ouch. Whoops, there goes my loafer. Oh, bloody nose.
Sucking in the 70s here with you till 5 o'clock. That was Mr. Roberts, number 2 from National Lampoon's. That's Not Funny, It's Sick, from 1977. Christopher Guest and Brian Doyle Murray. Here's Leonard Skinner.
for when you get next to one another is everybody needs some elbow room, elbow room. It's nice when you're kind of cozy, but not when you're tangled nose to nosy. Oh, everybody needs some elbow, needs a little elbow room. That's how it was in the early days of the USA. The people kept a-coming to settle, though the East was the only place there was to go. The president was Thomas Jefferson. He made a deal with Napoleon. How'd you like to sell a mile or two?
Or three, or 100, or 1,000?
And so, in 1803, the Louisiana Territory was sold to us without a fuss and gave us lots of elbow room. Oh, elbow room. Got to get us some elbow room. It's the West or bust. In God we trust. There's a new land out there. Lewis and Clark volunteered to go. Goodbye, good luck, wear your overcoat. They prepared for good times and for bad, and for bad. They hired a Sacagawea to be their guide. She led them all across the countryside, reached the coast, and found the most elbow room we've ever had. The way was opened up for folks with bravery. There were plenty of fights to win land rights, but the West was meant to be. It was a manifest destiny. The trappers, traders, and the peddlers, the politicians and the settlers, they got there by any way they could. West, and soon the rest was opened up for good. And now we jet from east to west, goodbye New York, hello LA. But it took those early folks to open up the way. Now we've got a lot of room to be growing from sea to shining sea. Guess that we have got our elbow room, elbow room. Crowded up together, I'm sure we'll find some elbow room up on the moon. Oh, elbow room.